Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
If God would want to live with the devil, why did he kick him out? Yeah, there ain't no duplex in your heart. Vision bears itself in intellect, in heart, and in ministry. In other words, your vision has intellect to it. It has heart in it, and it has ministry in it. It's ministering to you. I mean, because it's coming from your heart. Vision bears itself in intellect and in heart and in ministry, which means this, your vision always runs in advance of your ability to receive it or to get it. It's always going to be ahead of you and never behind you because they don't want you looking back. See, we have houses in Louisiana called shotgun houses. You know what that means, a shotgun house? In other words, you can stand at the front door, shoot the gun, and it go all the way through the, don't hit nothing, it go all the way out the back door. And I tell people and pastors in churches, I say, quit worrying about your front door. The most important door in your church is not the front door, it's the back door. Now, let me tell you something. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm not preaching to this front here. I got them. Hey, you back there. Wait, look at some of them. Oh, Jesus, he coming down. Yeah, you have to preach to everybody. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and but God's house is not a shotgun house. See what I'm saying? In any way, shape, or form. So it has intellect to it. You have to explain. That's why God used Paul the apostle. Why? The reason why you had to be a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. Pharisees were hypocritical, but Gamaliel was a Pharisee, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There were some good ones. Sadducees didn't believe nothing. Anytime anybody call you sad, you see, you know you're sad. Who want to mess with a Sadducee? You know, just kind of ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? But he had to be a Pharisee. But watch this. He also had Greek culture in him. Because, you see, Rome opened up the world for the gospel. So the gospel could cross the boundaries of Rome, but Rome controlled everything. We became a Rome, the United States of America, not in military expanse, but in economy. We control the world. That's why everybody wants here. You see what I'm saying? Because Americans spend money. Russians don't. But Americans are going to spend money. So, and it produces this wonderful economy we have. But not only was he could talk to any synagogue in their foreign language, in Hebrew, I mean, know the law like Moses knew the law. Brilliant. But also Greek, he could stand in Athens. And these people were, you know, homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological. They were smart. That Greek culture was there. And he could speak to them. What about this unknown God? But then what's better than that, that's why God chose him. He was a Roman citizen. He knew how to stand before Roman governors and before Caesar. So he had the perfect platform to go in the world and preach this gospel. He was very tender in his body. I think he would have died a lot earlier if he hadn't been in prison so much. But he got the right letters and things of that nature. If you look at his letters, it's very rugged in its thinking and in its phrasing. Because what happens is you see his heart in it. This man would kill you as soon as look at you. Now this wonderful man just loves everybody. See, everybody else heard, they saw a light. He saw a person. He heard Jesus and him talk, and it shook him to his shoes. To such a degree that when Ananias saw him, I love this, this unreserved forgiveness. He said, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. And he knew that man he called Brother Saul had power to kill him. But he was so wrapped up in who Jesus was. Ananias laid his hands on him and the scales fell off his eyes. That's why he could go out and preach. He knew it, buddy. And he could do it in Hebrew. He could do it in Greek. And he could do it in Roman. This man. Yet, he didn't look like this great Bible teacher. He said, he didn't talk too well. I didn't come with excellent speech, but in a demonstration of power. But he knew how to talk to Roman God. Peter would have messed up. Caiaphas would definitely would have messed up. And he knew what the Roman citizen, and a lot of people don't know this, in all of Rome, there was only 3,000 citizens. Millions of people, most of them slaves, only 3,000. If you was a Roman citizen, you were something. I mean, you were on a hierarchy. See, there are a lot of people, and there are a lot of preachers that don't know how to talk to Washington, D.C. They think they do. They just want to get around the president to rub on, you know, get a picture. I'm not interested in pictures. I'm interested in changes. How do we change a nation? Not by a picture. Because people can fool you with pictures. Remember how I fooled your mother? I got a wonderful picture in my where my board director meets of Ronald Reagan. And he says, "Dear Jesse, thank you for helping me win the election of the presidency of the United States. Through your faithful support, we are now standing in this office, and I just can't thank you enough. President Ronald Reagan." Kathy's mama was impressed. She goes, "My God, you know Ronald Reagan?" I said, "Look at the picture." She said, "Man," she looked over and she said, "You actually know him?" I said, "No, I bought that picture for $1.50 and I wrote that myself." I thought it was funny. She didn't think it was funny at all, you know? But she believed the picture. It's still in my boardroom. It really is. Vision bears itself in intellect, bears itself in heart and in ministry. Write this down. Vision always demands moral courage. It demands separation. And it demands honor. Honor is a gift that a person gives themselves. If you ever get honored about anything, it's because you gave that gift of honor to yourself and people are honoring you for that. Vision always demands moral courage. Don't tell me I couldn't help myself. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Separation from what? Sin. Separation. You should have a hard time sinning. See, the name of this is vision, the ultimate honor and sacrifice. You should have a really hard time sinning. Separation and honor. Honor those that carry the gospel. That's why I believe in women preachers. And it irritates me, some of these homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological idiots say women should be silent in the church. Women have never been silent in their lives. Okay, I was going for 33 there, you know what I'm saying? No. And that's not a shot. Thank God for women. Let me just tell you something about women, give you an understanding of what I'm talking about. Women can be an apostle. They can be prophets. Philip's daughters were prophetesses. They can be evangelists. Mary Magdalene can flat shuck the corn ball of potatoes and run down the street. They can teach the word of the living God, but they can't pastor. You mean they're only four ministry people? Why can't they pastor? Well, you know what Paul said. If anybody understands scripture, and if you studied, if you've been to seminary or whatever, anybody knows what he meant when he was saying these things. Anybody with common sense know that. But let me give it to you where you cannot miss this. Watch me. You that are watching, listen to me. Don't go nowhere. If you got to hold them, you got to go to the bathroom, just stand there and just shake your legs, but stay there. Mary, the greatest woman in my personal opinion ever created by God Almighty, to house Jesus, God, in the womb. The Word in the womb. You mean to tell me she can hold the Word in her womb and she can't speak the Word? You done lost your ever-loving mind. She carried God off at the Word, man. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was in her womb, but she can't speak it. I didn't listen to my daddy, he was an idiot. I listened to my mama, because mama said daddy was an idiot. That's what mama said. But she made him think he was the boss. He said, "I run this house." I said this, "Your mama." Vision always demands moral courage. It demands separation. It demands honor. Write this down. Your vision has a depth of meaning which seems unfathomable. My vision is so big, it's unfathomable. I keep doing all I can, Jonathan, to get to the end of it, but I can't, because every time I do it, I think, well, I'm right ready to go to the make a touchdown, the post, and all of a sudden I'm on the 1 yard line of another football field, and there's God going, set, and got to go this way. I was asking Mike. Mike was a professional with the football player with the Houston Oilers. He was coached by Bum Phillips. Am I correct? I looked at that. Mike's a big man. And I asked Mike this one time. Every play that's played in a football game is designed to make a touchdown if everybody hits the right person. Now, how many times have you seen it? Everyone. Be sure they hit. He said, tell them everything they do is designed to make a touchdown for me in this planet. But you know what happened is Christians not doing their job. They're not doing this. They're missing the tackle. They're doing all kinds of crazy. This and nuts. Now, I just got enough. Maybe I'm just dumb enough just to believe it all. So when he says, do that. And let me tell you what I was saying when I was going down on airplane crashes. You think I'm going down there, I'm going to die, then I'm going to be screaming, like an idiot fool operating in fear? No, I started shouting. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to see you face to face in just a minute. Woo! Glory to God! And we didn't crash. And we broke up a little bit, but we didn't crash. People said, you weren't scared? I ain't got time to be scared. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You understand what I'm saying? Everything I do is designed to make a touchdown. That's what I mean by unfathomable. And it don't make no difference how much money it takes to get it done. Because like I said in Psalms chapter 30, verse 6, all of you preachers ought to preach this. All you business people ought to make a sign of that in your office. In my prosperity, I will not be moved. Don't you be moved. And you're going to get criticized, but so what? The ball's in my, and I'm going down. That doesn't mean I hadn't been hit. Okay, but I hadn't been out. And if you're a baseball player, life throws you curveballs, but I know how to hit a curve. I prefer to hit a fastball. Now, I've never had one at 105 miles an hour. That's fast. Whew. But curveballs, oh yeah, I know what that ball's doing. I was a good baseball player, very good. I got trophies. Because you didn't have to be big to be a baseball player. I was a home run king, even in Little League. Kathy found my trophy. It was gone for 50 years. She said, Jesse, look what I found in the attic. That's my trophy. I did a Babe Ruth thing one time. I was 10 years old. This guy was a bad pitcher. I looked at him and said, you bad? And I walked out the batter's box. That shuts everything down. And I did what Babe Ruth did. I pointed to the center field fence. Cocky. I said, come on, baby. I got this boy. I got his number. And I knew he was coming with a fastball. And he did. I was supposed to take the pitch. You always take a pitch. But it was too pretty. It was too perfect. And I hit that ball and she went over the center field fence and I could have ran around it, but I did it like Babe Ruth was. I thought that's how you actually ran, but the film was messed up. You know how they'd run. I just trotted around that like that. And my coach said, you know, you should have took that pitch. I said, but it's a home run. He said, I'll allow that. He said, how'd you do it? I said, I got him. I got him, coach. Let me at him again. I got him. I hit 4 home runs in that game. Girls loved me. That's BC, before Christ. See, so when Satan thinks he's bad, let's see what you got. See, that doesn't mean I ain't had marks. I've been hit with the ball. That hurts. Sometime I had to sacrifice something to get somebody on. I didn't like that. I hated bunting. I hated that. But we had, if we're going to win this game, we got to get some people on these bases to get as much as we can. And usually the fourth man is a cleanup guy. He's ready to knock that ball out the park. Write this down. Your vision has a depth of meaning which seems unfathomable. So when people say, "Now, Brother Jesse, don't get crazy." I am getting crazy with this. You've lost your mind. Yes, I have. I have the mind of Christ. But you know, now I could preach this, but I'm just trying to teach it to make you understand this. You see, your vision will come to pass quicker than you ever thought in your wildest dreams. But if you listen to all this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And people's always trying to put doubt and unbelief in you. And he will use people who you esteem highly in the faith. Oh, yeah. You know, the Bible said only the word of God can divide soul and spirit. Oh, I'm going to get somebody mad about this. Seems like the word of faith thinks they know how to do that. Well, you know, you're not demon possessed and saved, but you can have something in your soul's realm. Oh, I'm going to make somebody mad. Really? Because, you know, I saw Sister So-and-so, and they've been knowing her for years, and that demon manifested. I don't care what you saw. If God would want to live with the devil, why did he kick him out? Yeah, there ain't no duplex in your heart. Okay, I lost this crowd. Let me come over here. Oh, no, I'm getting on something here. I know that. Well, you know, whoa, wait a minute here. If he wanted to live with the devil, Jason, he wouldn't have kicked him out of heaven. Why are you going to live with the devil inside of you? Well, it's in the soul's room. I don't care what room it's in. What's in here is God Almighty manifested in my spirit. And only the word of God can divide soul and spirit. So I don't care if Sister So-and-so been praying in tongues, shouting. All of a sudden she go, blah, blah, blah. Maybe she's just got a bad cold. I don't know what happened. In fact, one time I was preaching, my God. And I saw this little boy. We stayed in this man's house, a very wealthy man. And I was preaching. And the guy that was singing was a guy named David Ingalls. Anybody remember David Ingalls? Praying in the spirit. In a brand new tongue. And I didn't know who he was. I just knew. I didn't know nobody. I knew the Pope and Billy Graham. That's about all I knew. And I saw this little boy drooling bad. He was about maybe, I don't know, 10, 11. And I didn't ask this, Nancy. And I said, we believe in healing. Well, you know, Brother Hagin prayed for him, and we believe for the manifest. And he don't have a devil or nothing. It's just that. I said, oh, okay. You know, I didn't say that. Well, she walked out the room. Now, this kid didn't talk. This is a true story. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden the kid goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, look here, big boy." I used to love to cast out devils. I just aggravate them. It's just fun, boy. "I will kill you, Jesse." I said, "Oh, sucker, you know my name." That touched me. He knows my name. Mama come back in. I said, "Now, if I jump on this devil, this mom and daddy gonna eat my lunch about this." I said, "You sure there's not a demon spirit?" And I knew it. Like, I saw the little boy go like, watching me like a hawk. Boy. Oh, no, I'm not being critical of Brother Hagin singing. He said he didn't see it. Well, maybe he wasn't there at that time. I don't know. I'll give Brother Hagin the benefit of the doubt. That's for sure. Well, they didn't believe it. So I called my brother-in-law, Jules. Remember that? I said, "Jules, what you doing?" He said, "Nothing. Why?" I said, "I want you to drive over here to Shreveport." I said, "You want to see a devil?" He had just got saved. Phenomenal lawyer. I said, "He's in the house." "Really?" "Yeah." I said, "You want to see?" "Yeah." He said, "I'm coming." So it took him about 5 hours to drive. He comes like that. And the lady said, "Oh, we have a big, beautiful home." I said, "This is your brother?" I said, "Yeah." "Oh, come." And I said, "Now watch this, Jules." I said, "The devil won't manifest as long as the husband and the daughter's there. But as soon as they walk out the room, he's going to manifest." Jules said, "You think so?" I said, "Just watch, Jules." You know, in real bad drool. I mean, you know. You know, you feel sorry for the child. Don't misunderstand me. Well, parents, she said, "We have a guest house too. And if y'all want that way, you can have more privacy, or you can stay here." You know, they had, I don't know, they had like 10 different bedrooms. This is a big, huge house. And I said, okay. So she walks out to go to the car in a minute. And Jesus. That kid goes, Jules said, I'm getting the hell out of here. I said, whoa, Jules, wait a minute, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere, Jules. Oh, man, Jules going, he ain't going to hurt. I said, he ain't going to hurt us. I will kill you. The mom will come back in. I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating this thing. I said, God, you got to get these parents out of here, and I'll nail that devil in a second. I said, come on, Jules. Jules was behind me like this. I said, Jules, they know you're scared of them. You got to walk like a man. Come on. You get toward him. Let him spit fire. They may grab you and you're rolling on the floor. Just cast devils out. Just do what you got to do. He said, okay. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't let me do it. I seen that kid about 10 years ago. He's 32 years old. Still with that same problem. Ladies and gentlemen, our partner offer this month is a message I preach called Doing Good. Have you blessed someone lately? God wants you to. Why? Because when you do, you're acting just like Him. Discover how doing good is the cure for all evils and how it's the solution to all difficulties. Order your copy at jdm.org and be a blessing to someone somewhere, somehow, today.
Welcome to Glorious Moments. It's such an honor to share the wonderful works of our awesome God in the lives of people all over the world. I pray that the testimonies that I'm about to read will encourage you to believe God for your miracle. Let's start with this powerful Glorious Moments. Congrats on 50 years, Brother Jesse. We truly can't say enough good things about your ministry and the countless lives it has touched, especially ours. My husband and I were saved in 1983 through your ministry. I gave my life to the Lord at one of Kathy's women's luncheons, and my husband was forever changed after hearing you preach One More Night with the Frogs at a tent revival. God has been so good to us, and we've been truly blessed beyond measure. Thank you both from the bottom of our hearts. Praise God, and thank you for sharing that. This other one says, since becoming a partner with your ministry, I have experienced a beautiful shift in my life. My son bought me a home, and I'm now living completely rent-free. It's truly a testimony of God's provision and goodness. I previously served as a missionary for 7 years in India and 9 years in the Philippines, and I've seen God's hand move in many ways throughout my life. But this season has been especially overwhelming in His faithfulness. And I know with all my heart, He is not finished with me yet. Amen to that. We agree with you. And now this last one says, I asked you to pray for our granddaughter regarding her kidney. At first, they said her right kidney was not functioning. Then they found a blockage and a cyst on her kidney, as well as a larger cyst on her ovary. After the CT scan and all of our prayers, the latest results showed nothing. The doctor said the kidney was clear and looks good. Praise God. Amen to that. You know, I'm so grateful that you joined me today. Remember to stand on God's promises in your life because He wants to prove Himself faithful to you as well. God bless you. Have a fabulous day.
Are you ready to walk in God's vision for your life and receive above all that you ask or think? In my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It, you'll learn how to have God's creative DNA flowing inside of you, and your connection to His power gives you the ability to create too. By using your faith voice and saying only what faith says, discover the power within you, and every promise on your heart comes to pass in your life. Create your world and walk in it. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Celebrating 50 years of vision.
Motivation and momentum is what moves a vision to completion. What you start, you finish.
It's Jesse Duplantis' 2026 Visionary Conference, July 9th and 10th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
The world right now is now set to be touched by the power of God.
Go to jdm.org for more information.
I hope you enjoyed this message from last year's Visionary Conference. You can watch it in full on our free JDM app. I'm so excited because this year's Visionary Conference is next week. It's Thursday, July the 9th at 7 p.m. and Friday, July the 10th at 10 a.m. in the morning and then 7 p.m. Friday night right here at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana. People are coming from all over the world. This thing is jam-packed every year. And I tell you what, people are blessed. Registration and admission are totally free. Go to JDM.org and get all the details. And if you can't be here in person, you can join us live on our social media platforms. I tell you what, you're going to love our product offer. This is brand new, hot off the press. That's our new book, Create Your World and Walk in It. Use your faith voice and only say what faith says. You know, you can really receive every promise, every goal, and every desire God puts on your heart. How do I do that? By using your faith voice. This book talks about that and talks about how you create your world. And it's about time that you know what's coming before it gets there, don't you think? Go to JDM.org and order it today. This is brand new, hot off the presses, and you will be blessed by it. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support to this ministry. I said it last week, I'll say it again. 50 years of preaching this glorious gospel and never having a financial deficit. But I love this phrase. You know why? I trust you, you trust me, we both trust God. And guess what? We get the job done. Reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. I'm telling you, you will be blessed. I want to thank each and every one of you for watching today. And I mean that sincerely. Partners, we couldn't do it without you. I mean, people say, how do you do that? We just keep going, keep believing, keep decreeing, creating our world and walking in it, using our faith voice. My God, only saying what faith says. I've been doing this so long, and I just enjoy it. Praise God. Hallelujah. People say, you think you'll ever retire? I don't think so. Why? Because the projects God keeps giving me. I got two of them right now. It's going to cost $20 million. We believe in God for 1,000 people. Or actually, 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million to knock all this stuff out, to reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. Not $1 goes to me. It goes to God's kingdom. Thank you for being a partner. Nothing too small and nothing too big. You will be blessed because of the anointing of increase that's on my life. I'll see you next week. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
Join Jesse and Kathy Duplantis in Nashville, Tennessee for a special Friday event, August 7th at Faith is the Victory Church. Kathy at 10 a.m.
When he puts the assignment, he puts the dream on your heart, he also gives you the anointing to fulfill it.
And Jesse at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
See, this is more than religion, ladies and gentlemen. This is a living, speaking reality.
Don't miss this special Friday event, August 7th in Nashville, Tennessee.
Did you know angels are real and many of them are here today? God's word is full of supernatural experiences by people just like you and me. Order your copy today at JDM.org.
Too much caution and lack of confidence are fatal enemies of vision.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to JDM.org.